next on the 5 o'clock report.
We have to focus on a smooth transition.
What were they going to do? Set up picnic chairs?
Vaccines give us hope.
We're going to lose lives we did not need to lose.
I went down and I blew that candle out.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and thanks for joining us. House Democrats say they will introduce articles of impeachment on Monday. A fact that Mr. Trump will be out of office in just 12 days.
I don't believe it serves anybody to have the president resign or to be removed from office. We have to focus on a smooth transition to the Biden administration. That's what the president's committed to.
GOP Governor Pete Ricketts thinks the president is not to blame for Wednesday's violence at the Capitol.
The protesters who turned violent, they did that on their own, right? So the president asked for people to protest, but the protesters were the ones who decided to break into the Capitol building.
Still, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has asked the chairman of the Joint Chiefs to keep America's nuclear codes away from the commander-in-chief. President Trump announced today he's skipping the inauguration on January 20th.
It hasn't happened since 1869, when Andrew Johnson, who was sympathetic to the South, refused to attend the inauguration of the former Union Army leader Ulysses S. Grant. Now Donald Trump says he'll similarly skip Joe Biden's inauguration. The announcement on Twitter comes despite Mr. Trump saying in a video last night that now is a moment for reconciliation. Today he tweets the people who voted for him are patriots who will, quote, not be disrespected or treated unfairly.
Correspondent Stephen Portnoy, President-elect Biden, weighed in today on the president's plans for January 20th.
One of the few things he and I have ever agreed on. It's a good thing I'm not showing up.
Biden said he would be honored, though, to have the vice president show up at his inauguration. A fifth death now blamed on that siege at the Capitol. A Capitol police officer succumbed to his injuries last night. He was hit over the head by a fire extinguisher. Four protesters died in the riots. Fox News commentator Geraldo Rivera blames the president.
They thought that they were doing the president's bidding. They thought that the president wanted them to storm the Capitol. He said, go down there. And Don Jr. was even worse, and Rudy Giuliani also. What did they expect that crowd to do once it got to the United States Capitol? What were they going to do? Set up picnic chairs?
Others argue the fault lies with the leadership of the Capitol Police. Correspondent Tom Costello.
Capitol Police were completely outmanned in this fight against insurrectionists. People really making a distinction here between the heroics of individual officers and the leadership, which they allege simply weren't prepared, didn't plan for this event, despite the fact that it was on social media for weeks before it actually happened.
Media critic Joe Concha says the mainstream media is hypocritical to condemn the Capitol Hill chaos while heaping praise on last summer's riots, which also raged out of control.
Over the summer in Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, Atlanta, New York, Chicago, with burning buildings and rioting, looting, dozens of deaths. So because the cause was something that aligned with their ideology, that was okay. But obviously what happened at the Capitol, which no one is excusing, and it deserves all the criticism it gets, you've got to be consistent.
In regards to what happened Wednesday in Washington, the FBI is using facial recognition technology to identify the suspects and make arrests. The U.S. reporting the most daily deaths from coronavirus since the pandemic began, more than 4,000 just yesterday. It's the first time the daily death toll has topped that threshold.
We are standing on a beach and watching a tsunami approach. That is, the numbers continue to rise, and the status of the spread of this virus continues to worsen.
Carmela Coyle with the California Hospital Association, which is, in a word, overwhelmed. President-elect Biden is promising to speed up the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. He says once he takes office, more people will be able to get that shot.
Vaccines give us hope. But the rollout has been a travesty. This will be the greatest operational challenge we will ever face as a nation.
Biden says states need to stop holding back doses. There are major distribution problems in a number of states right now. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley is taking a publishing company to court after it backed out of a deal to print his book. Simon & Schuster refusing to publish Hawley's book that lashes out at big tech because of Wednesday's siege at the the Capitol at the time Hawley was on the House floor leading a debate about voting integrity. The December jobs report went public today. It was not good. The pandemic continues to enact a heavy toll on our economy. The U.S. lost 140,000 jobs last month alone. Economist Mark Hamrick says COVID restrictions are to blame.
There was a stunning loss in the leisure and hospitality realm. Most of those were lost in bars and restaurants. Leisure and hospitality has seen the loss of nearly 4 million jobs from last February.
He adds the new round of stimulus checks should help offset some of today's lackluster jobs report. Well, fans are just hours away now from seeing the final Jeopardy with Alex Trebek. The beloved game show host lost his long battle with cancer at the age of 80. He kept working almost up until the time of his death last November. Trebek's permanent replacement has yet to be named, but guest hosts include Katie Couric and former contestant Ken Jennings. A special tribute to Trebek will follow tonight's show. Baseball Hall of Famer, former L.A. Dodger manager Tommy Lasorda has died. He was 93.
Lasorda managed the Dodgers from 1976 to 1996, leading the team to two World Series titles. During his time as manager, Lasorda said he would do anything to win and says he once attended church with an opposing team's manager and watched that manager light a candle after the service.
And when he left, I went down and I blew that candle out.
Lasorda had a heart attack in 1996 and retired from managing the Dodgers shortly after. The Hall of Famer is known for always sending the message that hard work will get you success.
Give it everything that you have. Do the best you can.
Jason Campidonia, NBC News Radio.
Still to come on the 5 o'clock report for Friday, Fetterman eyeballing a run at Senate, vaccine debate in New York, and winter sports still on hold.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your family life weather forecast. For the night tonight, a clearing trend is occurring where skies have not yet cleared, and overnight we'll see starlight, low temperatures dipping into the teens and low 20s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny. High temperatures in the low to mid-30s. And then looking ahead to Sunday, a little more in the way of cloud cover, especially in New York. High temperatures then, mostly in the low to mid-30s.
All right, Kevin Williams, thank you very much. We're checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. A big political announcement today out of Pennsylvania. The Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman has announced he is taking steps toward possibly running for the state's open U.S. Senate seat next year. That is the seat that is currently held by retiring Republican Pat Toomey. New York hospitals have until the end of this week to use up their allotment of COVID-19 vaccine. If they don't, they might be fined. Dennis McCarthy is a spokesman for the Olean Hospital in Cattaraugus County.
This has been complicated. Let's face it. Hospitals are not traditionally the source of mass vaccination programs.
Governor Cuomo says statewide hospitals are doing about 50,000 vaccinations a day. That's compared to just 10,000 last week. Starting soon, though, they'll have to ramp up even more.
1B is over 3 million people. We're getting 300,000 dosages per week. So the supply is our issue.
1B is folks over 75, and they'll be able to get the vaccine soon. In fact, the governor said today that starting on Monday, they can register for that shot.
On Monday, they will begin accepting reservations for vaccinations. This is a very large group of people, and it can't just be show up at the pharmacy.
The governor said at a press conference today it could take up to 3 months to vaccinate this age group.
They're now going to hear, oh, mom is eligible for the vaccine. Yes, that doesn't mean, mom, that you can get the vaccine tomorrow.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio wants permission from the governor to begin inoculating senior citizens right now.
The mayor says because a good chunk of the top priority group is not taking the vaccine, he has 270,000 doses available, and he's demanding the state let the city administer those doses to seniors.
This is really dangerous. if we can't vaccinate the people who are in most danger, we're going to lose lives we did not need to lose.
State officials say opening up the next category could result in delays in vaccinating hospital workers. Scott Pringle, New York.
A Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania man is one of the five people to have died in that attack on the Capitol this week. 50-year-old Ben Phillips suffered what authorities are calling a medical emergency. He organized a bus trip to D.C. for the rally. Phillips told friends he was going to D.C. to, quote, fight for Trump. Well, Trump supporters in Western New York are blaming outside groups for Wednesday's violence.
Following the violent scene at the Capitol building this week, many President Trump supporters from Western New York are blaming outsiders for the attack. One woman who attended the rally told reporters while she was there, people were being respectful and the scene was peaceful. Western New York native Bernie Tolbert, who retired from the FBI as the supervisor of the Buffalo Division, told WKBW-TV that as those responsible for the damages and destruction are identified, they will likely face charges, starting with destruction of government property. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. High-risk winter sports like basketball and hockey still on hold for New York high schools.
We want to see the green light for those high-risk sports to begin. Basketball, wrestling, hockey, and cheerleading. Each passing day seems to be more and more concerning.
David Richardson is the athletic director at Grease Central in Rochester. He says while the kids can't play, they can get ready to play.
We're trying to offer like open gyms where kids can still come in, where they can interact with the coach, work on fundamentals, work on skills.
New York State gave schools a targeted start date of January 4th, but then pulled the plug. No word on what will happen next with winter sports. The fall sports season in New York, which includes football, scheduled to start March the 1st. Your nightly market report next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Stocks ending the work week higher despite a dismal December jobs report. The Dow gained 57, NASDAQ up 135. The S&P tacked on 21. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm, helping faithful stewards do more. Find out more at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Hi, and we're back with today's MoneyWise Minute with Rob West.
Are you content with what God has provided you? Christians profess not only to believe in God, but that He is always faithful. God promised to provide for our needs, and if we're not content, we're guilty of greed and disbelief. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, and martyred for proclaiming the gospel. In Philippians 4, he said, "I know what it is to be in need and to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." The secret is understanding that God owns everything. He provides and determines our needs. The world says we deserve more, but Psalm 37 tells us, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart."
And you can learn more about trusting God and becoming a wise money manager when you contact us online, moneywise.org. Write it down, moneywise.org.
Heard there's a football game in Buffalo tomorrow, Sonny.
Big time. Yep, NFL wildcard weekend begins in Buffalo. The AFC East champion Bills host the Colts. The first home playoff game for the Bills since December 1996. Means nothing without that W, says Josh Allen.
Nothing matters unless we win this one. And, that's our mindset. You know, we're going from playoff caliber to championship caliber, something the coach McDermott always preaches to us.
No doubt about that. Another action Saturday, the Rams battle the Seahawks. Buccaneers play at Washington Sunday. Ravens take on the Titans. Bears at the Saints. Nightcap, it's the Browns and Steelers for the third time this year. The Browns' first playoff appearance since 2002. Ben Roethlisberger said, enjoy it.
I think every player should approach this playoff game like it could be their last playoff game ever. We've used examples of players and coaches that have been in this league for a long time that have never been in the postseason, never been to a Super Bowl, whatever it may be.
And by the way, the National Football Championship game for Monday is still on. Some possible bad news, though. I didn't want to say it, but I'll have to. Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley, both questionable for the game tomorrow.
Don't tell me that.
For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, we have a clearing trend ahead and sunshine to start the weekend under friendly high pressure, and a very quiet weather pattern that will carry us well into next week before an expected pattern change brings winter back in significant form by the end of next week and the following weekend and beyond. In the meantime, for the night tonight, a clearing trend is occurring where skies have not yet cleared, and overnight we'll see starlight, low temperatures dipping into the teens and low 20s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high temperatures in the low to mid 30s, And then looking ahead to Sunday, a little more in the way of cloud cover, especially in New York. High temperatures then, mostly in the low to mid-30s.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin Williams. Finally, 5 for a Friday, a famous crime-fighting car is revving up those bids and a new auction. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Fans of the 80s TV show Knight Rider will remember Kit.
I am the voice of Knight Industry 2000's microprocessor, K-I-T-T for easy reference. A Kit, if you prefer.
It was a Pontiac Firebird Trans Am that spoke to its partner, played by David Hasselhoff.
Do you wish further information on Silicon Valley?
No, I want to know who you are and how you're listening in.
The star took the car after the series ended and is now selling it. So far, the highest bid is $975,000, more than triple the amount expected. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Now, Sonny, Brandon the Young Buck is just way too young to remember Knight Rider when it was on television. But I had, and you're not going to believe this, I had the Knight Rider lunchbox.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had the Knight Rider lunchbox to go with my A-Team Trapper Keeper on my way. So I was all set with the early 80s sitcoms.
I pity the fool who doesn't understand.
The 5 o'clock report was sponsored in part by Phil Jones Seedway, farm partner of Artport News.